Hey, this is Pastor Garlock from First Christian Church in King City, Missouri. We're glad that you found our podcast, and we pray that the contents of this podcast are a blessing to you and to yours. Enjoy.
I want to remind us during this season that Christ didn't just die for us, Christ rose for us as well. We can become fixated on the cross, and that's wonderful. If you're going to be fixated on anything, let's fixate on the cross, because the cross is the clearest vision that we receive of the nature and the character of God. If Jesus is the image of the invisible God, and he is, if Jesus teaches us what God the Father is like, and he does, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, then it comes into complete fruition and focus on the cross when Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That is who God is. He's the God that hangs bleeding and dying on the cross and speaks love and forgiveness from his lips. So Jesus is the perfect revelation of who God is. And at the cross, we see the clearest picture of who God is. Does that make sense to you? So Christ did not just die for you simply, though. Christ also rose for you. It is to your benefit that Christ has risen from the dead. The title of my message this morning is the 3 points: resurrected, resurrecting, and resurrection. Resurrected, resurrecting, and resurrection. We're going to begin in 1 Corinthians 15, and we're going to start in verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 17. Obviously, those three words that make up my title this morning are the same root word. And what that means, what resurrection means, is to restore. Okay, I want you to hang on to that. In a deeper sense, it means to restore to life, but there is restoration in resurrection. And that's what we're going to get to as we go through this message this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17 through 22. And we're going to be all over Scripture today, so just maybe do a little thumb stretch before we get started. So when you're flipping, I don't want anybody cramping up in the middle of my message. 1 Corinthians 15, 17. Man, I think I'm so much more funny than you do. When I think of that stuff, I'm thinking, man, this is going to get a good laugh, and then it's just crickets. Resurrected, resurrecting, resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, 17. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable or miserable. That's a terrible set of scriptures. What Paul is getting at, we're going to get to the hopeful side of that text in just a moment. What Paul is getting at is that it's wonderful that Christ died for us on the cross, but if he's not alive again, we're in trouble. If Christ isn't restored to life, isn't resurrected, if Christ hasn't come out on the other side victorious, conqueror of Satan, sin, and death, then we worship a failed Messiah. Verse 20, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Amen. Christ is risen. Let's pray, and then we'll talk about it. Father God, thank you so much for Holy Scripture. Thank you for your people that are gathered here this morning, and thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that not only are you resurrected, but you are the resurrection. Help us to turn our eyes and our attention towards you. Lord, I pray that you would do the work of resurrecting in our hearts and our lives today, that we would be open to receive all the good that you have for us this morning. I pray for myself, God, that you would anoint my lips to say all the words that you would have me to say, that I would speak your truth to your people. I ask all these things in Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Point number one this morning is resurrected. Let's look at Jesus' words from Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. Christ says, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Man, I've said this a lot over the last couple weeks in this resurrection season, but I feel like I need to say it again and remind us of this truth. Christ was dead. Christ didn't slow his heart rate down long enough to look like he was dead. Christ did not, for lack of a better term, I feel disrespectful saying this, but I think it gets my point home. Christ did not play possum. Christ was really dead. I knew Mike would like that. Christ really died. Jesus says, I'm he who lives and was dead. Listen to the way the writer of Hebrews says it in Hebrews 2:14. And as much then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy, listen to this, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through the fear of death were all their life subject to bondage. What is the writer of Hebrews telling us here? That Christ has overcome death by entering into death. As Christ died on the cross and was buried, he entered into death and destroyed death from the inside out. So much so that death isn't death anymore. Death has been defeated. Christ is the conqueror. Not only has he conquered death, that means to die now is not to enter into a black void or to enter into the unknown. Because of the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ, to die is to encounter the resurrected Christ. And you can disagree with this and we can have a conversation, not right now, maybe at the back door. But I believe with all my heart that every person that dies encounters Christ in one way or the other. That to open your eyes on the other side of death is to encounter the one who has defeated death, because the Apostle Paul teaches us that Christ has filled all things with himself, even death. Not only did Christ die, but the important part of the message this morning is what he says, firstly, in our passage in Revelation chapter 1. He says he is alive forevermore. In Revelation 1:8, Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Christ has risen to never die again. Christ has defeated death, and so he is the eternal Savior. He is the eternal King. He is the everlasting God. He is Almighty. Ain't no grave gonna hold his body down, because he is the risen King, the risen King. He is alive forevermore. And the final thing I want to point out in our passage there in Revelation 1:18 is that he says that he holds the keys of Hades and of death. Well, that word keys, I looked it up for the first time this week. I've never looked up that word keys because I kind of thought I knew what keys meant, right? But I looked up that word keys in the Greek language that John wrote his revelation in. And that word keys is a very similar word to our English word. It's the word, it's spelled K-L-E-I-S. So maybe cleese, I don't know. I can't speak Greek. It's all Greek to me. Come on now. But that word keys, listen, this is important. Oh my, I drank too much energy drink this morning. That word keys means to shut up. Okay? I think we can take this twofold. I think one is a modern way to take it that probably John didn't mean, but I do think there is a way that John meant when he wrote it. Let me tell you the modern way that I'm thinking that John didn't mean. We can say that Jesus has the keys of Hades and of death. And he has told Hades and death to shut up. That they cannot have the final word in your life anymore, right? They cannot have the final say in your existence anymore. But Jesus Christ has the final word, has the final say. Okay, that's my little modern vernacular on that. But let's talk about really what John was saying. John was saying that Christ, the holder of the keys of Hades and in death, has shut out the power of Hades and death. That death and hell no longer have dominion over our lives anymore. that we all used to, the New Testament bears out, that we all used to live with the fear of death, but the sting of death has been taken out by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't have to live in the fear of death anymore because Christ holds the keys. He has shut up the power of Hades and death. I'm going to read some verses rapid fire to you. I've got a couple Old Testament passages that speak of the upcoming work of Christ. And then I have some New Testament passages that look at the reality of what Christ has done. Listen to Isaiah 25, verse 8. He will swallow up death for all time. And the Lord God will wipe tears away from all faces. And he will remove the reproach of his people from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. Hosea 13, 14. Shall I ransom them from the power of Sheol? Shall I redeem them from death? O death, where are your thorns? O Sheol, where is your sting? Compassion will be hidden from my sight. Now listen to the New Testament, 2 Timothy 1:10. But now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:24. Then comes the end when he hands over the kingdom of God and Father, and he has established all rule and all authority and power. Listen to this. For he must reign until he has put all of his enemies under his feet, and the last enemy to be abolished is death. I got two more. Be patient with me. Revelation 20:14. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death. I know that sometimes we like to think about the people that are going to be thrown into the lake of fire. I've got to be careful with that, friends. But what John teaches us in Revelation is that death itself is thrown into the abyss of nothingness. That one day death will be completely and fully abolished. And finally, I've already quoted it, but we need to read it. 1 Corinthians 15:55. Paul says, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why did I read you all those verses this morning? Because I want to drive home to us today that Christ has shut up death. That this is the Christian hope that we have, that Christ has conquered even death itself. He was really dead, but he is really alive. He was really dead, but he really has overcome death, alive forevermore. So what does this mean to us? Well, point number two, because Christ is risen, now you who put our faith, you and I who put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ can experience resurrecting. Okay? Resurrecting. John 11, 25, this is the narrative around the story of Lazarus. Lazarus has died and Jesus goes to the tomb of Lazarus and Lazarus's sisters are weeping and Jesus gives them this beautiful truth, this beautiful promise in John 11, 25 and 26. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? To believe in Christ is to believe in the resurrection. If anybody says, well, I believe in Jesus, but that resurrection stuff, I can't get on board with that. Those two go hand in hand. To believe in Jesus is to believe in the resurrection. I want to tell us this morning inside this point, this resurrecting point, that it is Christ who gives us life. Christ gives us life. In John 10:10, Jesus says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that you might have life and you might have it, listen, more abundantly. Jesus promised to those who would put their faith in him abundant life. I want to say it this way, abundant life in the here and now. That sometimes when we think about the life that Christ offers us, we think about the sweet by and by, or I'll fly away, oh glory, or when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. All those old hymns, right? But the life that Jesus promised us is resurrecting life in the present. that when we surrender our life and our will over to the care of God, there is abundant life for us in the here and now. That word abundant, it means excessive. It means all around. I think this life that Jesus promises us is twofold. I believe that it's salvation life. And salvation life is a freedom from the bonds of sin. It is a freedom from the slavery, whether they're sins that we've committed or sins of the people around us that have bound us. What salvation is a setting free of those sins. But I think the secondary abundant life that Christ promises us is this word sanctification. And this is more about freedom. This is more, maybe as the old timers used to say, the things I used to do, I don't do anymore. It's being set free. In our text, when Jesus is at the tomb of Lazarus, his promise to the sisters is that Lazarus will be restored to the life, listen, to the life that he had lost. And man, when I typed that in my notes this week, I just felt that in my heart. That the promise of Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus is that he would be restored the life that he had lost. And I felt like the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart when I made these notes, that there would be some people in the sound of my voice this morning, that there's some things that you have lost that you felt like you would never recover, that you would never regain. There's some things that you feel like you've lost that you'll never get back. But listen to me carefully. The promise of resurrection is restored life, that the things that you thought were lost are restored by the power of God. And you might say to yourself, oh, that's too much. I can't believe that. Let's remember the one that said it was in the grave for 3 days and came out victorious. Part of the point of the resurrection is this, that if God can raise Jesus from the dead after 3 days, what can't he do in your life? What can't he restore in your existence? What can't the work of God do in our surrender over to him? Listen to me again. It's Jesus that gives us life. Not only does Jesus give us life, but Jesus is life. Yes, we know that quote where Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. That Jesus, to know Jesus is to know life. But the scripture I wanted to use here is in the Gospel of John chapter 14, verse 19, where Jesus says, a little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, listen to this, because I live, you will live also. Remember, in this resurrecting promise, we're not thinking about life in the sweet by and by. We're thinking about the life that Christ offers us in the here and now. And the promise that we see in John 14, 19 is that the living Christ, the resurrected Christ, will make his dwelling place in us. And because he lives, we will have abundant life in him. Does that make sense to you? That because Christ is risen from the grave, he has come to abide in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And because Christ is risen, he is not only in a general sense risen, but we can say it like this, he is risen in us. The life that we now live, we live in Christ. This is why the Apostle Paul said, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So let me say this and we'll move on. If we are not experiencing the abundant life that Jesus promised, have we invited Christ to come and abide in us? Have we opened up our hearts to the work of the resurrected Christ? If we're not experiencing this life, this abundant life, this excessive or all around life, maybe there's still spaces and places in our hearts that we need to open up to the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is indwelling life. Paul says it this way in Romans 8:11. But if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead also gives life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So Christ invites us into this abundant life. And he does this through his resurrection. I'm going to say it at the end of my notes, but I want to say it right here too. Resurrection is an invitation. It's not just an act of God. It's an invitation. to enter into the life of God. Christ is the one who has defeated death, and so it's an invitation to come and experience the life that he has won for us, the abundant life. Resurrecting is an act of God in our life, in the here and now. If you're still bound by sin, if you're still living in the old way, if you're still living that BC life, that before Christ life, then Christ's invitation is for you to come experience the abundant life that he offers to us. All right, you guys look really bored. I feel like I'm preaching better than you're shouting. So it's time to move on. Point number three, three of three. We're almost done. In the resurrecting point, I wanted to get across to us that the life that Christ has for us is life in the here and now. Abundant life in the here and now by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, quickening our mortal bodies. But I do want to talk to you about resurrection. A resurrection that has not happened yet, and that is yours and mine. And that is our loved ones as well. I'm going to mess with your theology a little bit today, but if you have open hearts to receive it, I think it'll be good for you. Sometimes we need to hear the things that we don't want to hear, and it is good for us. Okay, three amens. My dad would say we should have passed the offering plate before we got here. Resurrection. Listen to the words of Jesus in John 5. John 5, verse 26 is where we'll begin. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Listen to verse 28. This is really what I want to say. Do not marvel at this, Jesus says, for the hour is coming in which all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come forth. All who are in their graves will hear his voice and come forth. Last time I checked, so we're going to mess with your theology even more than I thought I was going to. Last time I checked, all meant all. Oh boy. Maybe I need to just use Jesus' words against you since you're looking at me suspect. Don't marvel at this. That's what he says, right? Don't marvel at this. The hour is coming in which all in their graves will hear his voice. This is something that's deeply biblical, but we don't talk a lot about in church. Every person that ever lived will be raised from the grave. Every person that ever lived will be raised from the grave. Every person will stand before Christ. Every person in the grave will hear Christ's voice. There's some good ways to wake up, and there's some poor ways to wake up. I hate waking up to this thing. Come on, if you can't say amen anywhere else. There's good ways to wake up, and there's bad ways to wake up. I imagine that hearing the voice of the Savior is a good way to come out of your grave. All who are in their graves will hear his voice. I'm thinking about precious loved ones. Man, I've buried a lot of people since I've been pastor at First Christian Church. In the first 2 years, the average age at First Christian, I think, when I got here was about 75. David and Janet Smith were the youth group. Janet, I think I did 15 funerals in the first 2 years I was here. I'd never done a funeral in my life. I did 15 in 2 years. At one point, I thought I'd buried everybody. Nobody's coming to church anymore. Almost. I think about those precious saints. And our heart aches. We miss them. But death, my friends, has been defeated. And one day, all who are in their graves will hear the voice of Jesus. Amen. All who are in their graves will hear the voice of Jesus. This is resurrection. Not floating on a cloud somewhere out in outer space. No, get that Looney Tunes idea out of your head. This is resurrection. That what it seemed like death had stolen, Christ will restore and redeem and make new. All who are in their graves will hear his voice and come forth. Listen to the way that John puts it in Revelation 21. Man, I'm never in Revelation this much, but we're just there today. This is the vision that John gets of the end of all things. And it's not doom and gloom. I know Iran did some crazy stuff last night. I know there's craziness going on in the Middle East, and I know that you can find a TikTok that tells you that the end is near, but listen to me carefully. This is the end that Jesus teaches us in Revelation 21, 1 through 6. John says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, listen, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that thirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Amen. John's vision of the life to come. So what my favorite theologian, N.T. Wright, would say, that this isn't life after death. This is life after death. Okay? Not life after death. But life after death, when all who are in their graves hear his voice. And John gets this glimpse, this vision of God's dwelling place, that we're not floating up, he's coming down. That God's dwelling place will be with man, and he will make all things new, and he will make all things right. So I have had countless, I've been in youth ministry for around 20 years. That's why I finally gave it up. And Mason's doing such a good job with our youth group. But thank God for him. I don't have to deal with those junior hires anymore. Oh, Lord, help us. Amen. It's not so much the eighth graders. Oh, man, it's those seventh graders. And it's especially those sixth graders. God help us all. If you got a sixth grader at home, God bless you. They're not all bad. We got a good one in the house over there in the corner today. But hey, I've had countless young people. Thank God I got my train of thought back. Man, I get myself in so much trouble up here. I've had young people come up to me. I don't really like the alternative to heaven, but heaven sounds kind of boring. Just for eternity. Singing songs? Up in the clouds somewhere? Well, if that's your vision of heaven, then I agree with you. And I don't know that I really want to go there forever either. But the promise of eternity with God is that God will come down. And he'll remove the curse of sin. And I'm going to say it like this, and this might seem light to you and irreverent, but I just believe it. I got to preach it. That you will be able to enjoy the things that you enjoy in this life outside of the bounds and the curse of sin. So I've told this story before, and if you've heard it before, just be patient with me. I'm going to tell it again right now. I love to travel. Traveling is my favorite thing to do. I love to go all kinds of places, and God has given me the opportunity to go to all kinds of places, and I'm grateful for that. But back when East Hills Mall had stores in it, they used to have, I just almost fell off there. I'm just feeling free today. So just, if you're, there's a couple visitors in the house. I'm not going to make eye contact with them right now. But man, just, it's not always this bad. It's always bad, but it's not always this bad. Casey Tunk's mother told me one time, she met me in the back after I preached, and she said, I don't know if I can come here anymore. You make me car sick while watching you preach going back and forth. They used to have a calendar shop at East Hills Mall. And I don't know, we were killing time. And I went in there just looking. And they wanted like $20 for a calendar. No wonder they're out of business. I print it for free on my computer. At any rate, they give you a couple extra months. So it was like the 15 most beautiful places in the world. You know, that's what they're selling. And picked up the calendar. I looked at the back. I want to see these 15 beautiful places. And I've been to a few. That was cool. Right? Man, been to this. But there was like, I don't know, 9, 10 that I hadn't been to. And honestly, sincerely, I'm just going to tell you the story. I'm looking at this and I'm kind of feel sad. Because I'll never be able to visit all those places. I don't have the resources to get to those 9 or 10 places in various parts of the world. You know, there's one in India. There's one down in the Caribbean. They're just all over the place. And I'm being honest, I'm getting sad looking at this calendar. Man, I want to see these places. I want to explore, right? And I kid you not, I believe with all my heart the Holy Spirit spoke to me in that moment. I try not to sound over spiritual. But God reminded me of what I just read to you from Revelation 21. That for all eternity, I'll get to explore God's good creation. God's kingdom is coming. Isn't it something that we pray at every week, but then we don't realize what we're saying? Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth, on earth, on earth as it is in heaven. I saw the new Jerusalem, John says, coming down. And God's dwelling place will be with men. So I will worship God for all eternity. But I'm going to do it at some of those beautiful places that he's created. Are you with me? Why? Because of the hope of resurrection. Because Jesus lives, you and I have life also. I'm going to ask my son to go get my wife so she can play that hymn for us, if you would. But I got to say a couple things to you. I got to ask you a question. Are you experiencing resurrection life? Are you experiencing the abundant life that Christ has promised to us? It's wonderful to come to church. I am so glad that you are here. I'm glad that you have an awareness of God. I'm glad that you've put some of your faith and some of your trust in who He is. But I believe that there's more than just simple faith and simple belief. I believe that there's a way of living an abundant life that God has for you. And I believe that maybe there's some people in the sound of my voice that need to surrender their life over to Jesus this morning. That you know about Jesus at this point, but you are not resurrecting. You're not experiencing the life that salvation brings. You're not experiencing the life that sanctification means. You believe in Jesus, but you're living in the same old ways. And listen, you're living in the same old ways and experiencing the same old things. God has better for you. Yes, the wages of sin is death. No doubt about it. I can testify. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So if you don't know Jesus like that, if you're not experiencing the resurrection life that Christ has for you, I want to give you an opportunity to surrender your life over to the Lord and allow Him to come to dwell in you, that you might experience the abundant life that He has for you.
Hey, it's Pastor Garlock again. I wanted to invite you to one of our worship services. We worship every Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m., as well as throughout the week. We offer children's programs, Bible study, and small groups. We hope to see you soon here at First Christian Church.